312-981-7200. Let's get that number out there right away because we have a guest who everybody seems to want to talk to. His name is Dr. John Duffy. He is a clinical psychologist. He's the author of a book that has really helped me out a lot, The Available Parent. And you can go to his website at drjohnduffy.com. Hi on a rainy Wednesday.
Hi on a rainy Wednesday.
Thanks for not leaving, John. We were both very worried that upon listening to the show, you would decide otherwise.
But so you're on here. The bubble, but glad to be here.
Don't blame you.
He gets us. See, we have very few guests that reappear, you know, so he comes back, he knows what he's in
That's
for.
That's so true.
All right, so what do we want to talk about today? I had mentioned before that a lot of people want to talk to you because as parents, we do the best we can, but there's always room for improvement, isn't there?
Always, right. I mean, it's tricky being a parent these days, and there's so many little variables that you can attend to, and we can beat them to death, but one that's been jumping out at me lately are the labels that we put on our kids, whether we intend to label them good or bad or indifferent. And what made me think of it, I was talking to this 20-year-old guy the other day, and he has this low self-esteem. And I asked, well, where do you think that came from? And he said, well, back in sixth grade, I was an A student, and I was struggling studying for a math quiz. And my mom said, well, maybe you're just a B student, honey. Mm. Meaning, really like looking to take the pressure off, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, not meaning right. like, you know, and to him, he felt like, oh, I didn't know your confidence in me was so easily shaken. And I no longer feel part of the team, like literally part of the family because everybody else is really smart.
Right.
So, you know, like that, it was just kind of this like glaring example of how like unwittingly we can put labels on our kids that they don't even, we're not even aware we're putting right. on them that have these legs that last 7-8 years and maybe long into adulthood.
Well, how many times have you heard parents say, well, that one, she's my smart one. That one, he's my
all athlete. The time.
That one. It's just, it's a natural thing.
Absolutely, right. And there's pressures affiliated with some of that. And when you have a smart one, one thing we have to remember is there's one that's not smart then. You know, like there's right. something mutually exclusive about right. that, right?
It is an eye-opener, though, when, you know, you find out that both your kids are smart, but they're not getting straight A's, even though they should. That's when I've just decided, yeah, I have A students, but I'm never going to see A's on report cards, and I'm okay with that now.
I love that. I mean, I think if you let your kids know, hey, I know you've got the goods, right? I know you have what it takes. I know you're competent. And this might not be where it manifests. It might not show up on a transcript or a report card. I can live with that. But I expect it to show up somewhere. Like, you know, for Michael, I expect you to be able to, like, really kill it on the guitar and really sing really well.
And he does. And we were talking to people from college admission, and we flat out asked Bill, do you remember, like, mm-hmm. are grades that important anymore?
Right.
You know, you can't get into the college of your dreams with D's, but with a B average and a lot of special outside interests, there's a good chance.
And the college of your dreams sometimes, and I think a lot of us know this, Bill, you and I both have kids in college, mm-hmm. might not be the college of your dreams when you finally realize what they're looking for, sure. and you might find, oh, there's a better fit for me somewhere else where my grades and my competencies fit way better than, you know, Stanford where I thought I wanted to go.
Right, yeah. right. So for parents who are hearing this, John, and they realize, oh, I have on occasion dubbed my child the blank one, the smart one.
I've done it.
I think everyone has.
I think
at some
we all
point.
Have.
I don't do it anymore, though.
Well, what do we need to do? Is there a way that we can dance around that a little bit?
Yeah, I think you want to back off the actual label and talk about, you know, where your kids' strengths are, where their difficulties are. Really frankly and honestly with them, focusing a lot on the strengths, a lot on what I know you can do, you
yeah.
know, because the labels are kind of non-starters. My least favorite, and you kind of hit on it, Bill, is that idea like not my math person.
Right.
And I always think like, so the kid that's labeled not a math person is in a math class 5 hours a day
right.
for the foreseeable future, you know, or 5 hours a week. For years, right? So how much anxiety must that drive? So instead of saying you're not a math person, maybe backing up from that a little bit and saying, well, we yeah. have some work to do in math. You know what I mean? So let's work together and make this more palatable for you. So that hour isn't awful.
But don't schools to some extent also create, I mean, I know parents are the ones who need to be more mindful of it, but schools kind of create labels for kids too,
with
don't
the special
they?
Level math classes too.
Yeah.
There's like three levels of math classes
yep.
and you know when you're not in the top one or when you are in the top one.
You do. And I think, you know, there are labels sometimes for those lower level classes that I don't love. You
the
know,
dummies? That's really disrespectful.
Terrible name for a
right. Really, we got to think of something better than
that's
dummies,
not
right?
Good. Our school, our reading groups, I'll never forget this. Were the Cardinals? They were the best. The Wrens? They were in the middle, and then the Blue Jays were the kids that didn't read so well. And still to this day, I have friends that were in the Blue Jays, and you can't even bring up Blue Jays because they're still sensitive about it.
Oh, I bet. I bet that it's certain labels are real tough to shake, right?
Yeah.
You know, so you want to give some legitimacy to all those tiers and, you know, really let your kids know, like, okay, we're going to place you where you're going to thrive.
Yeah.
And if you're a Blue Jay this year, you know what? We're going to work toward being a Wren next year.
Yeah.
And also, I have learned basically through the guidance of Dr. John Duffy and his book, The Available Parent, and you're a great therapist to my kids.
And a great uncle to mine.
Little known fact.
Yep.
My younger one, Dylan, is not that great in math, but he loves video games and he wants to get into film, maybe directing or making his own film. So then you try and show how math is important when you're trying to figure out you need to edit and how long would this be. You can turn a mundane math class into something that, wow, I'm going to need to know that.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, right. To make it applicable to something that they can wrap their brains around and get into, man, does that help the learning process along, right? You know, and takes a lot of the labeling away because, you know, then he thinks, okay, I'm a filmmaker and I need this element of math in order to do that effectively.
Yeah. Yeah. This ties in somewhat, but it's something Wendy and I were discussing a few days ago on the show, how back in school, you would have this, you'd be playing a game and you had two team captains and they would pick one kid and then the next kid and then the next kid. And then eventually you're down to three or four kids.
Right.
And they realize I'm not very good at this game. Obviously no one's picking me.
Right.
There must be some better way for all parties than that. Right.
I'm working with a young guy who's learning to be a PE teacher and they're focusing so much on kind of making that, I hesitate to say politically correct because it's better than that.
Yeah.
It's kind of just deftly shifting who's in charge.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And changing the games up often enough where everybody's got some degree of competency.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's tricky to do. I think it takes more work than just kind of coming up with a basic curriculum and saying, okay, I ran this last year, I'm going to run it again this year. You have to give it a little thought.
Right.
But if you're willing to give that little bit of investment, you can enhance the self-esteem of every kid in the class instead of just those top five.
Oh, that's better.
Yeah. I was a bossy little girl. I know you find that shocking.
What?
Really?
And in elementary school, when we would pick, I was a team captain a lot in kickball because I could kick ass, basically.
Sure.
And I would always pick the next best person other than me to be on my team, and then my third choice would always be the person that was picked last because I wanted to include them because it bothered me always seeing the same person there.
Absolutely.
Go, oh, pick me. So my third choice was was always that person.
Oh, that's very nice.
Well, one element of hope here is I think our generation of kids now are better about that. Like they recognize, okay, this kid's really struggling. I'm going to draw him onto my team. I don't care if we win today. I'd rather this kid felt better.
That's
there's
so
a lot
nice.
Of that going on. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the system where you just count off and then all the odd numbers are on one team and
that's
the even numbers
great.
On the other. That's
right.
So much better.
So egalitarian.
Yeah.
Yeah. No losers. Right.
Yeah.
Agreed.
That's much better.
Yeah.
A quick break. And then Dr. John Duffy is
what,
here.
What, are you from Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Oh, it's Stephen Avery. Yeah.
We're going to milk a cow then with Dr. John Duffy when we return. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. How long have you been in the business, John?
I've been doing my job about 20 years.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Thank
well,
you.
We have some interesting questions here.
Yeah.
That are pretty great. 630, I'm sorry to have turned the other way, but this. Listen to this. Because of the Trump issue about building a wall and all that, my son is being called racist names. What's the best way to handle this, please?
So I assume the son supports.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
it
yeah,
seems like
yeah,
the son
yeah.
supports the wall. Wow. That's a good question.
It's a great question, you know. And one thing is, you know, there's this kind of teachable moment where it's like no matter what's going on politically, it's not okay to, you know, to attack another kid, especially in that way. And, you know, and it's real presumptuous to, you know, say, you know, like he's racist for supporting Trump, and we, no matter how you feel about him, right? So
can I tell you, though, that kids use that term very, very loosely, even before the Donald Trump thing. If you would say anything, anything like, you know, oh, I love that mailman. Which one? The one with the hat or the black guy? And you'd go, the black guy. Oh, you're a racist. What? Really?
Well, in a generation. I mean, if you think back to when we were kids, you know, it was very different. We were able to use language, I think, real loosely. Now, kids are kind of like very, very aware of kind of taking care of one another. And there's this, now I'll use political correctness, that I think they favors them. I think it's really neat that they're like really are thoughtful and are not willing to be mean to one another, to this writer's point, you know, like, you know, hey, I feel like people are being not very nice to me from my point of view, you know. So one thing he could do is kind of stand up for himself and clarify his position.
He's being called the names, by the way. The clarification here, our son is Hispanic. So he's being,
so it's different than we thought.
It is different. I'm sorry. Yeah. I misread that.
Right.
So,
right.
And we had someone on from Islamophobia, who's of the Islam religion,
right.
And she was saying it's so many people have turned away from her and are treating her poorly, and our hearts were breaking thinking of people in the minorities like that that are just, they just want to go to school.
And it's so hard to imagine how difficult it is to be in that position. Imagine just walking through a city like Chicago and you are Islam and you feel like, well, just for my faith, just for what I believe, people are looking at me differently, looking at me sideways, afraid of me, you know, and I'm just a person trying to live my life. You know, it's pretty terrible.
So how much time should a parent take? And my guess is it depends on your child and how old your child is and how interested he or she is. But this election cycle has been so twisted, and we're adults and we can't figure it out. So what do you do as a parent to explain to your child, I'm going to do my best to make sense of this all of this, but it's hard to.
I think it's the way to look at this election cycle from a psychological point of view is one teachable moment after another after another. You know, like, so what do you think of the way these guys are talking to one another right now? You know what I mean? Like, what do you think of, you know, that comment that you just heard, you know, and to kind of bring that into the living room. There's a lot of like wretched things, I think we'd all agree, about this cycle.
Oh, yeah.
But the good thing is that I think it's got families talking. Kids in my office are far more thoughtful about this election than they ever have been about anyone beforehand.
And kids would understand it more because it's taken on the battle tactics of children.
Absolutely.
Hasn't it?
Right. Yeah, yeah. You know? They recognize the playground.
You're fat,
tactics,
you're stupid, you're ugly, you're dumb. That's what little kids would say.
Yeah. Yeah.
But a lot of times when somebody does make racist remarks at school to some young child who is just really there like you are to learn something, they shouldn't have to deal with that. A lot of people blame the parents because that's probably what's discussed in their home, but that's not always the case.
No, sometimes it's kind of this peer supportive thing. You know, there's kind of like this bullying element to that where, you know, if one guy gets a couple other guys who think the same way, they kind of will piggyback on one another and attack, you know, what they see as the weakest link in the class, you know, or the person who is racially different or different in some other way, you know. And so there's, again, really teachable moments there for parents, right? Especially parents of the minority kid or the gay kid or the kid who's just different in some other way, you know, to sit down and talk about like, well, how do you want to handle these things when they come up? Because you can ignore them. You could turn around and face them head on. You know, you have options, but you are allowed to kind of stand your ground and, you know, and feel the way you do. And you don't have to be ashamed of who you are, you know, and that those are important messages, I think, for parents to get across. But you're right, Wendy, it's not always coming from parents. Oftentimes it's just kind of the dynamic in a class.
Yeah, it's like people pile on to get popular, in a sense, to gain acceptance, I guess, is what it is.
Right, right.
And I hate to blame Donald Trump for a lot of things. Actually, I don't really hate doing it. But I really feel like the kids of today were more accepting of different races and religions and whether they were gay or transgender. It seems kids had an easier time just going, oh, yeah, that's just how it is these days. But I feel that now with this Trump clown car of debates and everything, it's exactly what you said. She's stupid. She's fat.
That's
you
what
know?
It's become.
I mean,
it
that's,
has, right, right.
So we're taking a step backwards somehow.
Yeah, we're regressing, right? Yeah. So it's almost like now we parents can probably take a page from our kids' books, you know, because they have, there's a lot of, they don't tolerate intolerance very
right.
well, you know? So, yeah. And that's not really budging. Even the kids I work with who are Trump supporters or Cruz supporters or Bernie Sanders supporters, you know, I think some people would argue, well, he gets, you know, kind of up in Hillary's face sometimes. And, you know, those kids still have this kind of point of view of kindness underneath it all. You know, they think more policy than I think a lot of adults do, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what changed, John? I know we don't have a lot of time, but why are kids so much more sensitive to all this than we were a generation or two ago? What it's just the awareness of what's right and what's wrong? Is that what it is?
Yeah, you know, I like to think that we are kind of maturing as we go, and you know, and maybe we've taught our kids some really good values that stick, you know? That's the closest I can come to a really solid answer. Even in my business, you know, 20 years ago, coming in to see me was really taboo for kids.
And
nobody wanted to come in. Now, kids are way more open to the idea of, you know, yeah, I kind of want to understand my mind a little bit better and how I function the way I do. Even boys, where, you know, it was really, there was a lot of resistance coming from, you know, 16-year-old boys, whereas now...
Just man up. You don't need to reveal your feelings.
Exactly. And now there's this kind of openness to, I kind of want to check out, you know, I want to look under the hood and see how I function.
Yeah.
And so I think part of it's that. It's just this openness that's kind of developed over time.
It's really intriguing. And it used to be taboo to have a therapist. And now I think it's really hip to just go, oh, yeah, I got my therapist appointment on Thursday nights. And you see people, especially in our neighborhood, you'd see people in the waiting room that you know. And you don't want to look at them because you don't want to say, oh, I know you're coming here. But nobody has that. It's just like, hey, how's it going?
Yeah. Kids are very casual about it. Yeah.
And it should be. I'm glad that it's becoming that way.
Oh, so am I.
Because,
so
you know, everybody needs, you know, a little checkup under the hood every once in a while.
Right, right.
All right, where can we find your book?
You can find my book on my website, www.drjohnduffy.com, or on Amazon.
The Available Parent. It's awesome. Really, try as we may, we're not the best parent in the world, and we all can use some improvement.
Mm-hmm. John, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
We'll take a quick break. Kim Gordon has the news next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.